Apple Music. It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. As the end of the year approaches for the rest of the hour today, we are talking about some of our favorite holiday movies and considering the year that was in film. Maybe you'll recognize something you liked in this compilation. Come on!
Unfortunately, my only skill in life is hitting a ball with a racket.
I want you to be my coach.
I want you to be my coach.
Every emotion is good for Riley.
I waited a long time for this team up.
Deadpool and a Wolverine.
Where's Optimus Prime?
The filthy red and blue bot?
Your Joker.
Fellow Ozzyans, the Wicked Witch of the West is dead.
Wise old queen taught me that I had a duty to live.
Long ago, Mufasa and the prince who would come to be known as Scar set out to find home.
News. Good news, good news. Things is changing.
Joining us now are two Illinois-based movie critics. Reggie Ponder is The Real Critic for Vocalo, 91.1 FM Chicago, and Indigo Magazine. Reggie, welcome back to the 21st show. It's been a while.
It's been a while. Glad to be back. It's that season. I'm not going to sing the song, but it's a wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, indeed. Also with us is Lucy May. She is one of the most popular members, critics on the film social media site Letterboxd, where she has more than 126,000 followers. Lucy, welcome back to the 21st show to you as well. Thanks for being here.
Hi there. Thank you for having me back. I'm excited to talk movies.
Yeah, absolutely. And listeners, you can join us today at 800-222-9455. You can talk about holiday movies, any movies you saw this year, 2024, what did you like? What did you not like? Let us know, 800-222-9455. And let's start with that holiday movie theme. And Lucy, I'll start with you. Do you have a favorite holiday film, something you watch year after year after year?
I do, and it might be cliche at this point, but I have to watch A Christmas Story every single year. Otherwise, the holiday season is not complete.
What do you like about it?
It's just so nostalgic for me. I think I have TBS to thank for that, for probably playing the 24-hour marathon on TV when I was young. But it's just a really fun watch. We can throw it on when we're, you know, decorating the tree, making cookies, basically anything. And I can also watch it over and over, which drives everyone else in the room a bit crazy.
Yeah, I got a true confession. I have never actually seen that one. I've had so many people tell me I need to watch it.
Oh, Brian.
And I'm just a little resistant now. You know, Christmas Vacation. There's so many I've seen time and again. But all right, Reggie, what about you? Same question. Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, it's an age-old favorite. And the television, I think, did it for me as well. And it's A Wonderful Life. And I like this movie particularly because of the messaging. And the message in this film is that your life matters. If George Bailey does not live, all the things that go wrong, go wrong. His brother doesn't survive the water. Mary, it doesn't get married. It becomes Pottersville. So that your life matters. And I just love that movie and I watch it over and over again. So, yeah.
Yeah, that resonates with a text message we got from one of our listeners. Barb in Springfield said, Miracle on 34th Street is my favorite holiday movie. The setting reminds me of Christmas's past, a department store Santa in a Christmas setting in the middle of a toy department. Very much like a trip to the Marshall Field Store Santa in Chicago from my youth. She said, I wonder if a mall Santa can generate those same memories for today's kids. I hope so. Miracle on 34th Street focuses on believing and not giving up, which is so closely tied to a positive attitude about life. What do you all think of that?
Oh, I totally agree. In fact, my brother and sister were just in New York sending pictures back of the Macy's windows and walking through New York. So, Miracle, that is a great one to watch for sure.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but it's going to be on my list now. Thanks to that. That sounds like a great film.
Yeah. What about, you know, the sort of non-traditional Christmas movies, right? Your Die Hards, Go is one that I like. Do you all have anything in that realm? Lucy,
I'll let you go first on that. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go with The Holdovers, I think, which came out last year, this time last year. I thought it was amazing, and I really want to revisit it this year. It's, you know, set in a boarding school, and it is a Christmas film, but it's also a lot more than that. And I do recommend The Holdovers. It was a great one.
I really enjoyed that. I think I watched it until March, so I didn't quite get in the spirit when I finally got around to it. But yeah. Reggie, what about you?
Yeah, you mentioned mine, Die Hard. I think that a great movie is a movie that you, wherever it is playing at the time you switch the channel, you stop and watch it. And Die Hard is going to be one of those for me. I will watch it, be it at the beginning, at the end, wherever. And it is one of those Christmas favorites, even though people will argue you that it is not a Christmas movie.
Who's going to argue that? Come on, get out of here.
I get it all the time.
Oh, no. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, when people, we're talking about, you know, there are movies that are kind of obviously Christmas movies, and then maybe some that are more on the bubble. For a lot of people nowadays, their conception of Christmas movies come from the Hallmark Channel or Netflix, or now even BET is getting into this, producing, you know, these made for TV holiday movies. Reggie, I'm going to start with you. What do you make of these?
Well, they really serve a purpose. And just from a marketing perspective, these movies are the best things in the world, because there are people who can't wait for them to start. So Hallmark starts in November. Lifetime stars November the 16th. They had 12 new original movies. Lifetime probably has like 150 of them. Then you have Netflix. They have their own slate as well. And then BET had 8 originals. And so you can find them all. And it's generally the same formula. You know what's going to happen. Boy meets girl. They don't like each other. They are mad at each other for some reason.
And because he's always like either a secret European prince or maybe his family owns a Christmas tree farm.
Right.
Or he might secretly be Santa Claus. Maybe.
Something like that. And all of a sudden they find out, well, maybe I do like this person. And they end up liking each other and they go off happily ever after. And Christmas is the best ever. So I'm just going to say that, you know, they work and they really put people in a really great mood. And I think Hallmark, people looked at this and saw that Hallmark was doing really well with these movies. And so everybody has come out with these movies now, just to make sure that they get a share of that audience.
Lucy, are you pausing the Criterion Channel to turn on the Netflix Christmas movies? What do you make of these?
I gotta say, yeah, I'm not a huge, I can't even lie. I don't partake in the Hallmark films, but I think I do agree with Reggie. I think that they definitely serve a purpose. You know, there are these people that wait, you know, all year round to really get into the spirit. Some people don't even wait until Thanksgiving anymore. They just really want to kick it off like as early as they can. So right after Halloween, and they just want to get into the spirit. And I think those films are great to just throw on them in the background, you know, similar to A Christmas Story, Die Hard. But you know, they're just festive. And I feel like they're mild enough that you can have them on at any time and really just kind of get into the nostalgic spirit. So if you love Hallmark movies, I think that's very great.
Yeah, no bad taste here. No bad taste.
No bad taste. No.
Yeah. All right.
If I may, before we move on to the next, one of the movies that we do watch, if you asked, you know, what movies we watch over Christmas, and one of the movies that we watch in my family all the time, every Christmas, is This Christmas. It has Regina King, I'm forgetting Chris's name, but. But it has Regina King, Delroy Lindo, Columbus Short, and it's just one of those movies where it's a feel
Chris
good.
Brown. Kind, Chris Brown.
Yeah, Chris Brown. Excuse me, I had a brain thing going there. But yeah, we watch This Christmas all the time. So that's one of the favorites in my family.
Talk about that, and we're going to talk more about diversity in film later, but I mean, is that something that you find has improved over time with these holiday movies? Because when we talk about what are commonly described as the classics, lot of white faces in those films.
Yeah, I think it has improved somewhat. I think for African Americans, it's improved probably better. But when you look at this from a Latino, a Latinx perspective, excuse me, not so much. And when you look at this from a Native American perspective, not at all. So there, it has improved, but there's so much more that can be done in that area.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are talking about, we have been talking about holiday movies, and we are going to be talking now about the year in film, 2024. My guests for the rest of the program today are Lucy May, who is a film critic from Central Illinois, extremely popular on the movie, or I should say the social media website Letterboxd, has 126,000 followers there. And we're also joined by Reggie Ponder, known as The Real Critic. You can find his reviews in Indigo Magazine and also on Vocalo, 91.1 FM, part of Chicago Public Media. If you want to join us today, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right, let's maybe we should back into this a little bit and say, instead of starting with the best movies, because we only have about 5 minutes and then we need to take a break. So, Reggie, what was the worst movie you saw this year?
I can't say what was the worst movie, because one of the things I think about movies is it really is a taste thing. And mm-hmm. So when you start saying what's the best and what's the worst, it's really all about taste. Now, there's a movie that a lot of people believe is one of the best of the year, and that's Anora. For me, it just did not connect. I don't even see what the allure for the film is. I had a discussion with one of my fellow film critics last night for him to explain it to me, and I still didn't get it. So for me, Anora wouldn't even be in the top 10, but it's a movie that that is getting a critical acclaim and people really like it.
Lucy, what did you think of that? Maybe we should tell people a little bit about what it's about.
Yeah. So Anora is directed by Sean Baker. It's starring Mikey Madison. And it's about this girl who is a stripper, a sex worker, and she meets, she can speak Russian, and she meets a boy, and he is young and rich, and they get married, and then it becomes kind of a whirlwind. I actually agree with Reggie. I really like Anora, but I don't love Anora. So I will say a lot of my colleagues and friends, they adore Anora. I myself, I find Sean Baker's previous films, some of his previous films, a lot higher up on my list. Tangerine is great. Florida Project is great. For this, it just kind of felt stalled out. The plot did not really go where I was hoping it would go. I will say, though, no matter what I think of it, I think Mikey Madison deserves all the attention she's getting. I do wish her character was a little more prominent in the actual film, but it is a whirlwind. I think it's a must-see of the year, you know, regardless of taste.
Yeah, that's interesting whether movies can be, I don't know, we don't have to use the term good movie, bad movie, but things mm-hmm. you can still not like them and still think they're worth seeing. Like there are films mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm glad I saw that. I will never watch it again. do you have a worse movie, or do you see it more the way Reggie does? You reject those, that sort of category.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Reggie. And as well as I looked at my list to prepare for the show, and I was like, I'm watching, as I'm getting older, less and less movies that I think I won't like. So I'm not seeking out a lot of, maybe not mainstream stuff, but things that like I probably won't see Mufasa, for instance, not because,
no,
you know, I'm sorry.
I gotta go. Bye.
Okay. Bye, Reggie. Okay. I'll see Mufasa for Reggie is now my new opinion, but Deadpool and Wolverine was not for me. I had a little bit of fun with it, but just definitely not for me. Also, I'll say Civil War really didn't make the mark for me, even though I love Kirsten Dunst and previous Alex Garland films. I thought, you know, mood-wise, it wasn't my favorite. But again, it's just about taste, and I'm not really seeking out things that I don't think I'll connect with.
Yeah, that was much discussed, although also much derided. Reggie, did you see Civil War? Do you have a take on that?
Yeah, I actually enjoyed Civil War. And I, again, when we're talking about best movies, would that movie move into my best list? No. But I enjoyed what they were doing there. At the end of the movie actually got me a little bit, because I think sometimes we get some of this gratuitous killing, and movies have been doing that a lot lately. Like, okay, we're going to kill somebody, and we're going to kill them the best way that we can. And Civil War is not John Wick. So with John Wick, I can understand that, but with Civil War, there was some gruesomeness in terms of some of that killing, but it worked for me. Because the message of it is, for me, is that here's a woman who has seen it all, and she's jaded. And this young person's like, oh, I'm so scared to get in it all. And then all of a sudden it flips. The young girl is like, I'm in it. And the older woman is like, ooh, wow, this is not really what I thought it should be. It worked for me. Civil War did work.
Interesting. And I gotta say, I haven't seen that one yet, but the critique I've heard is that it was sort of weirdly apolitical for the moment we're in terms of how divided America really is and where those fault lines are. It seemed to kind of go out of its way to ignore that or eschew that. I wonder if did that track with your viewing of it?
Yeah, it did. And I thought that actually that was probably smart in our very divided times.
Interesting. All right.
Don't do it. Don't go there, because then there'll be some people will go see it and some people won't. Go see it and you come out with some thoughts on your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break. We will continue with Reggie Ponder, The Real Critic, and Lucy May. When we return, you are listening to The 21st Show. What did you see this year in movies? What stood out to you? Maybe you have you been back to the theater? I know attendance is still down since the pandemic, but there have been a number of big blockbusters. Maybe you went and saw one of them. Let us know. 800-222-9455. We will continue after a short break. Stay with us. Makes me want to sing my intro to The 21st Show, but I'm going to spare you of that. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about the year in film with Lucy May, who is a popular film critic from Central Illinois on the site Letterboxd, and Reggie Ponder, known as The Real Critic. You can find his reviews in Indigo Magazine and on Vocalo 91.1 FM in Chicago, 800-222-9455 if you want to join us. All right, Lucy. What is a movie you saw this year that maybe you were going against the grain? Audiences, box office, critics, whatever, maybe didn't quite vibe with it the way you did.
Didn't vibe with it. I don't think I have any deep cuts that people didn't love. I do have some I can recommend that I know they have loved, but are kind of like sleepers, if you will.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Hard Truths, directed by Mike Lee, was, I thought, incredible. And The Seed of the Sacred Fig. Those were my two of the year I don't have too many opinions of films that, I disagree with audiences, but those two I say are 100% worth seeking out for this year. I thought they were incredible.
Tell me about Hard Truths.
Truths. Yeah. Directed by Mike Lee, starring Marianne Jean Baptiste, which might be my favorite performance of the year. Just incredible. Mike Lee's kind of an everyman director. And it's just brilliant. I actually hadn't seen any of his films, I'm sad to say, before this. And I caught it at AFI Fest I live in LA now. And I just thought it was brilliant. It was just amazing. The dynamics of personality, even within family, and how someone can try very hard, but still not be able to just enjoy life to a degree. And it's just the mechanisms of that. And I thought it was just beautiful. I really recommend it.
Reggie, do you want to respond to that, or to take it where you will on your own? If there was a film that you maybe really, really dug that other people seem to not quite get the way you did.
Yeah, I'm so glad that she mentions Hard Truths, that Lucy mentions Hard Truths, because it's a really interesting film. I saw it in New York while it looks at this woman who is really having a hard time expressing what's wrong with her. She's having problems communicating with her family, and she's really ostracizing everybody, kind of pushing them away. The acting in this is so, so good. Mm. It is. I agree. Marianne might get an Oscar for this. I mean, it is. Mm-hmm. This is a triumph in filmmaking, actually, because of the storytelling in the film, not necessarily from all the other things. I mean, it looks great. I mean, it looks great, but the acting in this really pulls that one through. I will also tell you is that because I am looking for diversity in film, there are two films that from a Native American perspective that I saw this year that I liked. Again, I don't think people would be saying, oh, they didn't like it. But one of them is called Rez Ball, and it's a documentary film about the rise of basketball on Native American reservations. And it's a very interesting look at a couple of young men and how they are coping. It deals with some of the things that we know happen on the reservation, like suicide and loss, but also sports. I think they do a really good job there. And then there's the other documentary, which is Sugarcane, which is really an interesting one as well. And it brings a lot of I say light on to this subject. So there's just a number of things that I like this year. But obviously, I know you're going to get to some of the big ones, and those big ones are doing really, really well at the box office.
All right, well, let's go there then. Reggie, what were some of your top movies of this year?
My top movie of the year, the one that I like more than any other movie, is called Sing Sing. It stars Coleman Domingo and Paul Racy, but it's about a theater program in Sing Sing, and it has a very, very low recidivism rate. So the inmates who go in and participate in this program come out better people. And in fact, all the other actors in this movie are people who graduated from the Sing Sing theater program. And it's riveting, it's touching, it's educational. It just says a lot. And I really, really like what that film does. So that's my favorite film of the year. I also like what happened with the piano lesson as well. I think that people don't really understand how much August Wilson is an American treasure. And his work really, really reverberates and is relevant today. So those are two films that really stand out on the top of my list.
Mm. Lucy, what about you?
For my top two, I also have a top two like Reggie. My number two is going to be Challengers, directed by Luca Guadagnino. It was almost impossible to miss this year, but if you somehow still haven't seen it, you have to see it. It's so much fun. The ending just got me so excited about movies again. I think it came out in March or April, and I remember I saw it at kind of a private work event, and I just remember it was late at night and I started just shouting. I was so excited about just movies in general. I thought it was just brilliant the way it's made, and yeah, everything it does. And my favorite film of the year has to be The Substance, which is a very gory horror film directed by Coralie Farget. It's a French woman who's done a film before called Revenge, which I also loved because it's very in my genre that I enjoy. But Demi Moore and Margot Qualley, both incredible in The Substance. If you can handle any amount of gore, I recommend it. If not, I definitely understand. But I do, I've seen it a couple times in theaters, and I just, I'm obsessed with it, honestly.
I noticed it was on Letterboxd. It was your only 5-star review. I appreciate you not grade inflating.
All right.
For this year. But I also saw that among the people I follow, a 0.5-star, 2 stars.
Ooh,
it was
yeah.
polarizing, right? What do you make of that?
I think it's just, it's very in your face. Especially because, you know, it is worth the fact that we're even talking about it is quite a big deal, I think, in the scope of film and bringing horror into the conversation. There's been a lot of, you know, films over the years, recent years, kind of more grounded in everyday life. What do they call it? Elevated horror, films like Hereditary that have kind of like made the mark and, you know, gotten popular. But I think what's interesting about The Substance is how uncompromising she was in her vision. Apparently, I, you know, could be misquoting at some point, but apparently she, you know, Universal produced it. And then they wanted her to recut it and cut a lot of the really gnarly stuff out. And she refused. So they sold it to Mubi, who is a great streaming service. They've been for a while, but this is their really big first film that they've taken on and has really done numbers. It did so well in theaters. It made a ton in theaters. People just kept on seeing it. I myself, my day job is at a movie theater, and I noticed just people kept coming. It just, for months, people were seeing The Substance. So I think it's just one of the most interesting films that's come out in years. Even in the horror sphere. And I think it's so much fun. If you don't like it, I definitely understand reasons why, 100% reasons why, but
like I'm
for
a wimp.
Me,
is that the reason? That's the
amazing.
Reason I'm not going to be seeing it is because I'm a wimp about horror.
All movies. Right. All right. Sounds about right, Brian.
Reggie, do you have this on your list anywhere, or have you seen this one?
So I have not seen The Substance yet. In fact, that's one that I have to catch up on. So I haven't seen it. But when we start talking about horror or horror adjacent films, there's two that stood out to me that didn't. One that didn't make the mark for me, and then the other that did. And the first one that didn't make the mark for me is Nosferatu. The acting in it is great. It looks good. It is a filmmaker's film. However, it didn't move me in any sense of the word. I the characters didn't do it. The way it was shot didn't do it. I didn't sit there saying to myself, "Man, I am really glad that I watched this." But it is very well made. All of that, but I maybe because it's about vampires, it just didn't have bite. but the other one that did. Have some spiritual healing or spiritual tension for me was Heretic. Is that I really like what Hugh Grant did in this movie. And if you don't know what this movie is about, it's two missionaries are going to house to try to convert people. They end up going to this house where Hugh Grant is, and he lets them in and he doesn't let them out. And the discussion is so deep about religion that the back and forth are questions that either you've asked about God and your faith, or somebody else that you know has asked those questions. And I think that it's very, very smartly done. And Hugh Grant is phenomenal in that film.
Well, last thing I want to ask about is the theater going experience and where we are with that in late 2024 going into 2025. I will say Challengers is one of the few movies I've actually seen in the theater in the last many years. I've got kids, so that's how my life goes. But Lucy, what do you think? Are people coming back now? Is it, you know, are we beyond AMC being a meme stock and everybody worrying about theaters going away? Do you see things turning a corner there?
I think it's a really interesting conversation because I can see both sides of it at this point in time. There are days when I'm wondering, you know, or, you know, I'm getting worried for the theater going experience. And when some films aren't doing numbers, I get, you know, disheartened. Films that I think are good, but maybe not marketed too well. But honestly, I think, you know, since Barbenheimer a few years ago, the Barbie Oppenheimer summer release date, I think there has been hopefully a new leaf in theater going. And yeah, I'm seeing a lot more people going. I work at a very busy theater in the Los Angeles area, and Gladiator 2 and Wicked just did so much business. We were just slammed and it didn't end for weeks. So I'm really hoping that, you know, that it means that we're seeing a lot of younger people going out. We're seeing a lot of people getting the passes such as MoviePass or A-List, and that they're seeking out interesting stuff. They're seeking out things they might not have otherwise. So I'm really, yeah. And Letterboxd helps with that as well. They're not promoting me to say that. I just do think it helps with the younger generation, you know, in finding stuff that, you know, they might not have seen otherwise. So I'm crossing my fingers.
Yeah. Reggie, just about 30 seconds left. What do you think of that? Is the theater going experience dead, coming back? Where do you put it?
It's not dead, but two things. One is that the movie industry doesn't do a good job talking to women, and it has mm-hmm. never done a good job. 52% of the movie going audience, they're women, and we don't do a good job there. So that's, if the better they do, the better the box office will be, because I go where my wife says we're going to go see the movie. So that's really important. And then the other thing is that theaters have been closing. So we do need to recognize that it has, that what happens in streaming has impacted the going experience. And the last thing I want to mention is that Moana 2 really helped the box office immensely. It's right now is over $700 million at the box office. So when you have Gladiator, Wicked, and Moana, mm-hmm. You had a trifecta that was unstoppable. So it really, really did help this box office.
They don't really lend themselves to the portmanteau, though, do they? All right. Reggie Ponder is the Real Critic. You can find him at Indigo Magazine, Vocalo 91.1 FM in Chicago. Lucy May, you can join her 126,000 followers, including me, on the website Letterboxd. Lucy, Reggie, this was great. Thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And that is it for today. Coming up, a special Christmas treat from our sister program, Dialogue. We're going to be taking a deep dive into Black holiday music. It's coming up tomorrow on the 21st Show, which is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk again tomorrow.